revelations for the church, and God used Paul to solidify some doctrinal truths for the church and to enlighten folks about the death, burial, and resurrection and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And Paul dealt with a great deal of the time of his ministry, Paul dealt with folks that were off course. I mean, dealing with the Corinthians, good night, what a mess. The Corinthians were all messed up on their putting men before God and not anchoring tightly to truth and hanging on to truth and just kind of letting doctrine go. And should we fear God or should we fear man? And I think the fear of man, you know, the Bible says the fear of man bringeth the snare. And a lot of these folks, they didn't want to believe the right thing, teach the right thing, preach the right thing, live the right thing, and correct with the right thing because they didn't want man upset with them. I'm going to tell you something. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, there's going to be somebody that's upset with it. And that's just the way it goes. And if the whole world's upset with you and God's happy with you, praise God. Amen. But Paul was dealing with these people all the time that just couldn't get past the flesh. They couldn't get past their self-worship, and they want to be liked. They want to be loved. They want everybody to be happy with them. Boy, wouldn't that be great? If you just got up every day and went about your life and everybody was just happy. And everybody was happy with you no matter what happened. They just, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy. And I'm not talking about prosperity stuff. I'm just, everything just clicked and went right. You have some days that are better than others, but our goal is not to please man, it's to please God. And Paul spent a great deal of his ministry trying to get people to please God. And when you please God, you are going to upset some people and you're going to create, well, it's going to allow for some enemies. We're going to look at some of that in Galatians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he yet by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with Father Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I want to look at about seven or eight things here today. And the first three things, I want to look at the Galatians. The Galatians were, first of all, foolish. Look what it says in verse number 1 again. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? O foolish Galatians. And we've got a couple different types of foolish people in the Bible. We know that, you know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's foolish to think that this happened by circumstance or happenstance, and that there is no creator, and that, you know, everything just come to being by accident. Those are fools. And we like to watch every once in a while on YouTube or something. These History Channel things where they're talking about the paranormal goofballs and all this stuff. And I like William Shatner used to do some of them. He's funny. You know, he kind of lightens it up, makes it funny. I like listening to him. You'll get to talking about things, and they'll bring on this scientific mind. There's somebody look like they haven't washed or combed their hair in 14 years. Amen. They get on there, they're crazy-eyed, and they're talking about they're a professor of this, that, or the other, you know, and they're talking about, well, we got it all figured out, and you know, it couldn't have been God, right? It couldn't have been God created everything. So they go back, well, you know, we know that a gazillion years ago that everything come from nothing, and then all these little gray aliens, and with these cave paintings, and we can tell by these cave paintings that aliens have already been here, and they used to, they had rockets and all this stuff years ago. It's just crazy stuff, right? They have no evidence of that except for a picture written by some third grader or three-year-old or something 4,000 years ago in a cave with a piece of charcoal or something, right? But then, and I'm thinking, you're scientists, right? And they talk about the rocks, you know, and these great formations. That, well, this rock here, it weighs 100,000 tons or 100 tons or whatever, you know, and there's no way 100,000 men could get a hold of this thing and move it to build this. So it's obvious that they had some kind of a power back then. Maybe it was a mystical power source like a magic wand. And I'm like, you're a scientist? So you can't believe that God created everything, but you can believe they moved a 1,000-ton rock with a magic wand. Amen. I mean, come on now. You know what that is? That's foolishness. You know what that is? That's an unsound mind. And after a while, they start looking as crazy as they sound because they've left God, left the truth. They're doing everything they can. They're spending all their energy to explain God away, and they just get further and further and further from reality. And God finally, I believe, gives them over to a reprobate mind. They don't make no sense at all. And then they get together, and they have to one-up each other. Well, you say this crazy thing. Let me tell you this. I think the aliens. And then they one-up them. I think this, that, or the other. Okay, well, I'm not saying that aliens don't exist. Matter of fact, I hand tracks to them at Walmart all the time. Amen? I see them at the Kroger. I see them walking down the road. I see them all over the place. They're speaking in tongues and all kinds of stuff out there. You know, I don't understand what they're doing. I hand them a track. Hope they get saved before they take us to Mars, you know, here in a couple days, you know, when we get the rapture out of here, because that's what the story will be. I don't even think the scientists know they're setting the stage for this. I think they're just so goofy, the devil's using them. Anything but God. How could God create everything? How could he have always existed? Couldn't have been God. Must have been the aliens that always existed. That's foolish. There still has to be a beginning, even if there were aliens. So the cosmic birth had to happen either before the aliens or between us. You know, it couldn't have happened. The aliens just existed forever. And if they did, and they believe, if the people believe that, why is it so hard for them to believe that God existed forever? And they do believe God existed forever. They just don't want to submit to God. So they get this cornball thought process going on, if you will, and they just get crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. It's foolishness. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. And then we get the fools that are the religious fools, and they come along here, and they get a Bible, and they crack that thing open, and if they read it, they'll crack it open, or somebody will teach it or preach it or tell a fairy tale or something. Maybe, hopefully, they'll read the Word of God and preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, but they'll get saved, and they'll start off on the right track, and the next thing you know, they're all crazy into religion. And that's what Paul's talking about. The foolish Galatians. You know what the Galatians had done? He's talking to born-again believers that had trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and now they're adding works to it. These people were saved, but now they're adding works to it. Remember what he said? He said, you begun in spirit, in faith and the Spirit, and then you think the flesh is going to keep you? So they're adding works to Jesus Christ. And that's what most religion does. Most religions does so, well, Jesus, he set the stage so we could work our way to heaven. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we were without hope, without Christ, without God. We were without hope. We had no chance of getting in because all of our righteousness, there's filthy rags, there's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus Christ's righteousness is the only one that can earn our way to heaven. He's the only one. That's what the Bible says. I mean, I'm not that smart, but I can read the Bible. I mean, there's things in there I don't understand, I'll guarantee you that, but I understand that. And I know me. I don't know me as well as God does, but I know this. All of my righteousness, there's filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. That includes me. For all sin comes short of the glory of God, that includes me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. Praise God, that included me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, shed his blood for me. I called on him, he saved me. What did he save me from? Me. Amen. I believe that. because it's in the Bible. But a lot of these folks, they'll teach you that, well, it's your works. You've got to do works. And then folks will say, well, if you don't do works, you can lose it. You get it, but then you can lose it. And then you got to work to keep it. So you either got to work to get it, you got to work to keep it. Well, if all of your righteousness is filthy rags. If there's none righteous, no, not one, where do your works begin to merit your favor into heaven? They don't. They can't. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if your works could get you to heaven, why would Jesus Christ die for you? Why would God go through that? He would. Why would you have Ephesians 2:8-9 in the Bible? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That clears it up right there. I don't care if you're a Methodist, a Roman Catholic, a Jehovah's Witness, or a goofed up Baptist. That Bible says it's not your works. Again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's all calling on Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what do people do? They get foolish and they start boasting. Oh yeah, I trusted Jesus, but I'm keeping it myself. I trusted Jesus, plus I decided to get baptized, and that's why I'm going to heaven. No, when you trusted Jesus Christ, if you really trusted Him, you were baptized into the body of Christ spiritually. And if you never got in the tank of the Jehovah's Witnesses or whoever put you in there, the Baptists, the Catholics, the Church of Christ, if you never got in that water, you're going to heaven. It's not about being in the baptistry. It's about being in Christ. It's not about some man wearing a dress, they're flicking water on you, amen. It's not about going through some class and, you know, I finally figured out so many things about the Bible, I can, you know, or being confirmed as a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or whatever. It's about being in Jesus Christ. You don't get in heaven without being in Jesus Christ. This church age, you have to be in Christ. He's the only one worthy. So the foolish Galatians were adding to and taking away from what Jesus Christ did. That's foolish. So the Galatians were foolish. Look at verse 2 and 3. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This only would I learn of you. You know, he says, I got one question for you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know what he's talking to? He's talking to people that just believe on Christ and called on Him and they were saved. So wait a minute now. Did you receive the Spirit by the law or by the faith in Jesus Christ? See, the Galatians were foolish and they were fleshly. They were carnal. What they wanted to do is believe that their flesh could have something to do with eternal salvation. Even though at the point of salvation they realized that wasn't the truth, their flesh rose up and said, you know what? I want to be king. I want to have that power. I want the credit. I want the glory. I don't want to give all the credit to this Jesus guy. And the truth is, it all goes to Him. It all goes to Him. There's no credit. You can't credit yourself with anything as far as getting to heaven. All I did was realize that I was nothing and had nothing to offer. And you don't get to heaven any other way. That's why I say these people that come along and say, well, you know, hey, wouldn't you like to call on Jesus? And they go, yeah, sure, I'll do that. That's not salvation. Salvation is realizing you're a sinner. Salvation is realizing why, what, and who, why Jesus Christ died, what He did on Calvary, how He come back out of the grave, His blood atonement, and who He is. He's God. And when you realize those things and call on Him, you're already there. You're in Him. He's in you. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Praise the Lord. I don't have to drop dead to wait to get to heaven. I'm already there. I just wish He'd take this part out. Amen. I want to be a little more specific. Hopefully in my sleep soon. Or the rapture. I don't want to get drugged down the road by a train 4 miles or anything like that. Amen. Let's get specific. You ask not because you want. You have not because you ask not. I want to ask specifically. Lord, just come get us. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. But the Galatians were foolish. The Galatians were fleshly, carnal. Now here's verse 4 and 5. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he yet by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? They were foolish. They were fleshly. Fleshly, they were forgetful. You know what they forgot? They forgot the fact that it was all Jesus Christ. They forgot the day when they realized that they were a sinner hell became real to them. And the death, burial, and resurrection became real to them. And they called on Jesus Christ. And they started living after the flesh, trying to glory in the flesh instead of glorying in God, the finished work on Calvary. They're forgetful. You remember the day when you called on Jesus Christ? Remember the day when you realized that you deserved to burn in hell, and you realized that He shed His blood, died, buried, and rose again? And you said, "Lord, forgive me and save me." They forgot. I'm not saying they didn't have that day. I'm saying they forgot about what it was about. See, the Bible's not about you and me. It's about what God did for you. The Bible's not about, look how great I am. I get a kick out. They should have never let me in graduate school because I got a peek behind the curtain, man. I seen the wizard pulling the levers. These people are nuts. Amen? I guarantee you, they give me a piece of paper with a doctorate on it. They don't take that stuff very seriously. That's the way I figure it. Because I look out there, I see people that don't have an education at all that are smarter than I am. Amen. That education don't make you smart. It makes you big-headed. Now, I thank God that God has given us some things, some abilities, and we can learn some things. But the majority of stuff you learn to get that piece of paper is garbage. A small percentage of it is true. The rest of it is propaganda from the devil. Amen. Trying to get you to worship science and worship your brain and worship that piece of paper. And maybe one day you'll get like, you'll look like Einstein with bedhead and you'll be on some kind of a chill and you'll be going, "Yeah, the aliens did it 6 billion years ago." I mean, they make Kenneth Copeland look sane, amen? And they're on there vibrating and their hair sticking up and all this stuff. And they're like, "Well, Tesla did this." And okay, whatever. You know, Einstein's theory of relativity. Well, you know, whatever. Einstein wouldn't have had a brain cell if it wasn't for God. And you know what? He wasn't as smart as he thought he was. The things they figured out as fact in Einstein's day, as science usually does, figured out they ain't all fact. Amen. I seen them pull back the curtain. I went to school with these folks. I remember when I got into school, they said, "Well, you know, if you make it through this program, you'll be the top 3% of the intelligent people in the world." And I'm like, learning from these guys? I mean, I got people in here that think we come from monkeys. Amen. I got people in here that think little tiny horses turn into the ones with Clydesdales. Amen? And you're going to give me a piece of paper that I earned by listening to them and tell me that that makes me smart? The smartest thing you could do is run from that stuff. Amen? You know, I thank God I learned some stuff in there that was good. But I went in it thinking there is a God, believing there's a God, and believing the Bible. I didn't understand a lot about either one, but I knew they were true. And they weren't going to talk me out of it because of tiny little horses turned into great big horses in their imagination. And we're going to do that. But don't forget that Jesus Christ is the only reason you're going to heaven. See, the Galatians, they got saved, they forgot. They were foolish, they were fleshly, and they forgot. They made a decision to forget. I want it to be about me, not him. This Bible, like I said again, it's about a king and his kingdom. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's about a king and his kingdom. And we are a blessed pit stop for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to call this church out here one day soon. I'm not saying everybody that's in Gateway Baptist. I'm talking about everybody that's born again. I'm not talking about being born once. I'm not talking about being confirmed into a church. I'm talking about having called on Jesus Christ, saying, "Lord, forgive me and save me. Forget all my merits, Lord. It's all you. I don't have any merits. It's all you. Forgive me and save me." Those people are going to leave pretty soon, and I'm going. Well, if you're here today and you've never done that, you'll burn in hell forever if you miss that opportunity. Or you'll go through the tribulation, get in the tribulation, and maybe you get it, the light will come on, and you get your head chopped off for the cause of Christ or something. But why take a chance on that when you can just call on Jesus Christ today? The Galatians were foolish, they were fleshly, they were forgetful. Look at 6 and 7. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." We see the father of faith. Now it says right there that it says Abraham took a step in faith. He just believed God. You know what religion doesn't do? Doesn't believe God. I mean, you can take a religious person, they've been born and raised into the Baptist Church, Catholic Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church, without a Bible, they have no Bible knowledge, they've never read it, they've never studied it, haven't heard much preaching on it. Maybe they got listened to some kind of a whatever you want to call it, in a different language or whatever, you know, Latin for the Catholics or hogwash for the Southern Baptists or whatever you want to call it. You know, they listen to some other thing and they've got some kind of preconceived idea of who God is. And, God's love, love, love. God's like man and God just accepts everything. And the truth is, men don't even accept everything. They don't understand who God is. You know, God is perfect and right and holy and true and just and good and a perfect, right, holy, true, just God will judge sin. And He will judge your sin. But guess what? If you're here today, you've already judged your sin on Calvary. All you have to do is say, Lord, I accept that. Forgive me and save me. The father of faith, Abraham, he did what God said because he just believed God. You know the reason I called on Jesus Christ asking you to forgive me? I just believe God. I just believe God. Most people spend too much time listening to the devil. Oh, you can be. You can be. Remember what he told Eve? Does the Bible really say that? You can be like God. You know what the Galatians did? They decided they could be like God. These are born-again believers. And they changed their mind and decided they could be like God. They started to add works back in there, the law back in there. They went from being born-again Bible believers to Seventh-day Adventists. Amen. But the father of faith, you know what he did? He believed God and did what God said to do. If you're here today and you're lost on your way to hell, why don't you just believe God, do what God said to do? God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call on Him, get it over with, get it done, get it taken care of. So if something happens, you don't make it home after this church service, you don't split hell wide open and spend eternity there. You want milk and cookies, you come to the wrong church, amen? I give them to you after you get saved, amen? I don't want to stand before God and Him say, why didn't you tell them they were going to go to hell? You just assume because they come to church that they were going to make it to hell. I mean, there's all kinds of churches like that. He said, but I give you the truth. I give you the light. I give you so much light. I give you the ability to do some rightly dividing there. I give you the ability to understand church age salvation compared to Old Testament, tribulation and revelation and all that. I give you some really good light, and you wasted it by not telling the people they're going to burn in hell if they don't get saved. I don't want to be that guy. I got enough to worry about. I don't want to worry about that. If you're here today, I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, you'll burn in hell forever. You'll split hell wide open. You'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. The only time you'll get out of hell is when he takes you at the white throne judgment and says, hey, you didn't make it. You didn't trust my son. You're going to the lake of fire forever. And you go, yeah, you're right. Just say, hey, I'm going to be like Abraham and say, you're right now. You're right. I'm wrong. Forgive me and save me. As a preacher, as a pastor, as a child of God, it breaks my heart to think somebody would listen to the preaching of the Word of God and the truth about hell, the blood atonement, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the simplicity of just believing God, calling on Christ, and go to hell instead of accepting the truth and making the decision to trust Christ. Abraham, he just trusted God and did what God said to do. The father of faith. Look at verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We see the father of faith, now we see the foreseeing Scripture. Isn't that something? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Isn't that something? You know what God's seeing? God, you know, this is where the Calvinists get all messed up. This is one place where they leave the runway. They circle around for years and years, and they never get back down to the runway. They get up there, and they go, well, God, from the beginning of time, He had picked you to go to heaven, you to go to heaven. That's not what it says. The Scripture foreseeing that He'd justify the heathen. You know what the Scripture foreseeing? That you and I didn't have any hope, and Jesus Christ had to pay our sin debt. You know what he foreseen that? From the foundation of the earth. Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, God Himself, saw your need before you were born. You know what he saw? His rejection by his own people. The Scripture foreseeing. You know what that says? The Word of God foreseeing. That's Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ knew? The will of the Father had to be done for you to get to heaven. You know what the will of the Father is? The will of the Father is threefold. You just believe Him. Jesus Christ to die, be buried, and rose again, He did that. And for you to call on Jesus Christ and get saved before it's too late. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Well, I don't know all your business. You don't know all mine. But God does. It's not about what you've done. It's about what you haven't done. If you're here today and you're lost on your way to hell, you haven't trusted Jesus Christ. That's not God's fault. He made it perfectly clear and give you the perfect opportunity, and He's giving you the breath today to do it. The father of faith, the foreseeing scripture. You know what's funny is, I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination. I believe you have your own free will and you make the decision whether you burn in hell or not. God doesn't. God says He wants everybody to get saved. His will is for everybody to get saved. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that scripture is such a foreseeing instrument of God that John has already looked into the future and seen if you will get saved in your lifetime or not. Because John was in heaven after your death. And he saw your face if you were saved. And he didn't see it if you were lost. Isn't that something? The scripture foreseeing. But he didn't see it based on God telling you you're going to get saved or making you go to hell. He seen it on whether or not you would just say, hey, you know what? I'll accept the truth. I'm wicked. I deserve to burn in hell. Get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, you may not get saved, but you're going to hear this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to hear that a lot, Lord willing, in this church. But imagine if you rejected that, you were standing at the judgment seat of, or the great white throne judgment, and you heard that for the last time. And God said, remember when you heard, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? And you didn't. The father of faith, the foreseeing scripture. Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The faithfulness of Abraham. So, Father Abraham, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you did it because you just trusted God and you did what God said to do, and that's the faithfulness of Abraham. He just did what God said to do. He didn't say, but, what if, I don't know. He just said, all right, God said it, so I'll do it. Faithful Abraham. So Abraham is Old Testament. Abraham is before the law. Abraham wasn't under the Ten Commandments, by the way. Abraham just trusted God. Ten Commandments don't have anything to do with you getting to heaven. You just have to be like Abraham and trust God. The faithfulness of Abraham. Look at verse 10. This is what gets me. I don't understand. To me, it was crystal clear. I'm wicked. I deserve to burn in hell. You know, I don't even have to write a list down. God was giving me the list as we spoke. Amen. You went wrong here, here, and here. He still does that occasionally. I don't like that. I wish God would just say, I wish he was, after you're saved, it was all like Joel's name. God would say, just happy, happy, joy, joy. But he doesn't do that. He says, hey, you're a child of mine. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. I want you to get right. But look at verse 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We've seen the father of faith, the foreseeing scripture, the faithfulness of Abraham. Now we see the failure of man under the law. You know what man under the law is under? A curse. Because unless he keeps all the law, he's going to burn in hell. And the only one that ever kept all the law perfectly was Jesus Christ. And you know what happened to Jesus Christ? He took your sin debt to hell, and hell couldn't keep him. The gates of hell should not prevail against him. And he came back out with power over victory, victory over death, hell, and the grave, so you could have eternal life. But that's what happened right there. The failure of man under the law. Man cannot keep the law. We're a mess. If you're here today, let me tell you something. You're a mess. So I got up and got dressed for that. Oh, yeah, you did. You're a mess. But that's not the part you want to hear. But you need to understand. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's an answer. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father. No man. Nobody in the Baptist church, nobody in the Presbyterian church, nobody in the Methodist church, nobody in the Lutheran church, nobody in the Catholic church, nobody in the Pope's seat, nobody in the bishop's chair, nobody in the Baptist preacher's chair. They don't get there unless they go through Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they failed under the law. They failed under the law. Look what it says again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you broken any one of God's rules? Let me tell you, yes. I'll answer it for you, yes. Can you name one of them? You ever had a God between you and God? The God? You ever told a lie? You ever had a fornicating heart? I mean, we've got three down. We've only hit three of them. Everybody in here is going, I'm four deep guilty already on three. Amen. That Bible says if you hate a man, hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. So we're sitting here looking at a bunch of fornicating, lying, idol-worshiping, heathen murderers, thinking we're going to be good enough to get to heaven if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You're guilty of all those things. You know what the Bible says? If you've broken one point, if you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Isn't that something? It's okay, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't done this. Well, you know, first of all, we need to see what the Bible says. And the Bible says if you looked on a woman and lust after your heart, you're an adulterer. If you're mad at a brother without a cause, you're a murderer. Right? And the little white lies send you to hell just as fast as a big green one or whatever the other one is. I don't get into color specific because I ain't, you know. We have Jesse Jackson out here on the sidewalk or something. But anyway, I don't care what the lie was. Well, I just told a little lie. Well, how little do you think a little lie is in God's eyes? If you think they're just little bitty lies and big lies to God, you got the wrong God. You don't understand how holy God is. To Him, a lie is a lie. I mean, I did not take the wrong amount of change and not give it back at Walmart, or I did, but it's not that big a deal. Is just the same as I forgot to tell you where I hid the body. And I'm not going to tell you. It's the same thing to God. He said, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, and you are the only one, Lord. You kept every single commandment, every single point of the law, and because of you, I can get to heaven. Oh, you're guilty. Oh, you're guilty. And it's not just me telling you that. The Holy Spirit's telling you that. If you're here, you never. Hey, if you're saved, God's still telling you you're guilty, but you're clean. Let me tell you, you're guilty. Lying, idol worshiping, fornicating, adulterous, murderous, heathens. Go to hell. Without Christ, that's us. The failure of man under the law. Boy, oh boy, look at 11 through 14. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Let me read that again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You might be justified in your eyes, but when God looks at you, He says you are guilty, guilty, guilty. And you don't want that gavel slamming at your jury trial. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You live in the law, you die in the law. Here we go. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We've seen the father of faith. We've seen the foreseeing Scripture. We've seen the faithfulness of Abraham. We've seen the failure of man under law. Now we see the freedom of the true believer. You know what the true believer has the freedom to do? To go to heaven. Why? Because they've trusted Jesus Christ and they've turned their back on the law and turned to the giver of the law and the fulfiller of the law. Look at this again, verse 11. But that no man, no Pope, no Baptist preacher, no Catholic choir boy, no Lutheran minister, no Methodist preacher, no Church of Christ, the water dunker, no Jehovah's Witness, no Mormon, no Seventh-day Adventist. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The devil wants you to ignore that and pretend like you're going to earn your way to heaven. He's not your friend. But there is a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. Jesus Christ. The devil is going to hell. He's going to spend his eternity in a lake of fire. And he is so jealous of the fact that all you have to do is call on Jesus Christ to get saved and spend an eternity in heaven. He is so jealous and envious of that, he wants you to believe that the law is something you can keep. He wants you to ignore the Scripture. He wants you to ignore, for by grace you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. He wants you to ignore, but that no man is justified by the law on the side of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You know why the Lutherans exist? Because Martin Luther, as a Catholic, a lost Catholic with his whole intention to be a priest the rest of his life, he read that verse, and you know what he realized? They were lying to him. He realized that he was going to burn in hell, and there was nothing he could do about it, and that verse right there opened Martin Luther's eyes, and that old boy got saved. But that no man is justified by law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Not by communion, not by christening, not by confirmation, not by church membership, not by being born into a certain belief system, but by faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ, His blood atonement, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And let me tell you something, friend. You won't go to hell because you're a sinner. You'll go to hell because you've rejected the Savior. When you stand at the white throne of judgment without Jesus Christ, and you go, well, you know, I didn't sin as much as the other guy. And they go, well, you did. You did the worst thing you could do, and that's reject my Son. You rejected salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all you had to do was say, Lord, forgive me. And trust Him and Him alone. But the freedom. I mean, honest to goodness, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning if I didn't know I was going to heaven. I couldn't do it. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not through works, not through water baptism, not through the law, but through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Abraham said, I'm going to believe God. Did what God said he said to do. And God said, all right, I'm going to impute righteousness to you for that. You know what they were probably doing back in that day? Oh, I know they were doing it. I just don't know the wording. But they had other gods. They had a perverted image of who God is. They had turned God into an image like man in their own heart and mind and said, well, God, He has to forgive me because I'm not as bad as the guy down the road, comparing themselves among themselves, not wise. He said, God has to do this, and God didn't have to do anything that He didn't say He would do. God's only bound by His word. He's not bound by what you think or what some priest or preacher tells you. He's bound by His word. And by His word, being a just God, if you reject Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God has to send you to a lake of fire forever. Now look, He's not going to be like some of these bozos out there and be happy about it. He doesn't want you to burn in hell. He doesn't want you to go to a lake of fire. And if He did, let me assure you, He would not have sacrificed His only begotten Son for you. I've lost a son. And if He died for you, and you rejected Him, I'm not even just, but I'd cast you in the lake of fire forever. God gave His only begotten Son for you. For you. You reject that, that's why you'll burn in hell. The freedom of the true believer. Look at this again in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. you're here today and you never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're under a curse. And that will put you into a lake of fire. But you've been redeemed on Calvary if you'll just accept it. If you'll just accept it. The failure of man under the law. Once you realize that, the freedom of the true believer can be yours. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Don't leave here lost. So why come to church to get something? Well, the Lord's trying to give you something. He's trying to give you eternal life. And He's trying to show you eternal purpose if you are saved. And He wants to show you through His Word. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We're all guilty. And the only way around that is by trusting the one that never had any guilt. Never broke any law. The perfect Lamb of God. The righteous Son of God. The Holy Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. If there's anybody in here that's never trusted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, it's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being any denomination or religious system. It's about being born again. Help us, Lord. Today should be the day. No promise of tomorrow on this earth. But you have an eternal promise by trusting in your Son. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A few moments of silence. I'm going to get down here and pray. And just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. If you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, forgive me and save me. Why wait? One heartbeat away. Never having another opportunity to trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior.